This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, presented by Massage Envy, the first podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball. Featuring insight from Arkansas baseball color analyst Bubba Carpenter. Here's Matt Jones.
The non-conference season's rolling right along. The Razorbacks are in their final series before SEC play begins next weekend. Arkansas will play the University of Illinois at Chicago four times this weekend at Baum Walker Stadium. There's been a schedule change. Instead of playing Friday when there's snow and sleet and freezing rain in the forecast in Fayetteville, the Razorbacks and the Flames are going to play two games on Thursday. The first game will be at noon Thursday. The second game will be played 45 minutes after that one. For now, no change to the rest of the weekend schedule. Arkansas and UIC also scheduled to play on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock and on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. Matt Jones with Bubba Carpenter, the color analyst for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And Arkansas is coming off another 2-1 weekend. They've had a 2-1 weekend in all three of their weekends so far. They beat Southeastern Louisiana twice, both in a doubleheader last Saturday after they lost the series opener 7-3. The Razorbacks come back and win 4-2 and then run rule the Lions 11-1 in eight innings. And Bubba, I don't know if I can say this enough, but it's all about winning 2 of 3 on a weekend. You'd like to see a sweep, I think, against some of these teams, but the objective is to win the series. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that Arkansas is continuing to win twice each weekend.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. You know, the thing is this isn't basketball or football, and you know, where it's different. You know, the losses are different in those sports, where, you know, in baseball, it's all about winning that series. And, you know, you look at last year, you know, what did we lost, we won 10 series last year. We won every series, but I think we went 2-1 10 different weekends last year. We only swept like 4 weekends the whole year. You keep winning 2-1, go 2-1 every weekend, good things are going to happen. Now, the thing you don't want to lose that Friday night game. I know the past several years we've had a history of, we've been able to win that Friday night game, which is huge. You know, we've lost the first game of the series twice so far. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, you don't want to do that going into the conference play. It's hard to win on Saturday and Sunday. And so in the SEC, but yeah, you know, the key is just winning. You know, you win the series, good things are happening. And, you know, every weekend, I feel like we're getting a little bit better. And that's really what you want to see this time of year.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. It does feel like you've come out of every weekend saying that they fixed some of the problems that you thought they had going into the weekend. You know, I look at what's happening just across the country, though, and I think people forget a lot of times that there are really good teams that are coming out of these mid-major conferences, teams that are going to be a 3 seed or a 4 seed in an NCAA regional in a couple of months, 3 months, that, you know, have the potential to give some teams some headaches. Southeastern Louisiana, they're one of those type teams that I think you could see in a regional in early June and, you know, could potentially, you know, be a regional wrecker. They're supposed to win the Southland Conference this year. Whether or not they will, we'll see. But, you know, you look at what's going around the country. Oklahoma State just got swept on its home field by Gonzaga, who's supposed to win the West Coast Conference this year. North Carolina State, they just got swept on their home field by Northeastern. We saw Northeastern come in to Fayetteville last season. That's a team that's supposed to win its conference again. Opening weekend, Florida lost at home to Liberty. Mississippi State lost at home to Long Beach State. East Carolina, a really good team that a lot of people think is going to be a national seed most years, they got swept on their home field by Bryant, who's, you know, predicted to win its conference. I think when you look at what the other teams are doing and the fact that they're not able to win these series on their home field, I think it makes you appreciate a little bit more, Bubba, the fact that Arkansas is winning these series, even though it's a little bit maybe too close for comfort.
No, I think so, Matt. And the thing is that goes back to the whole transfer portal. You know, you got your COVID, you know, your 6-year COVID players. There's a lot of factors that are weighing into that, but, you know, we're finding ways to win. And that's the most important thing. And, you know, I think right now, you know, you look at the Southeastern team, they came in here expecting to win. I mean, they, you know, it was a good ball club. I mean, their pitching was pretty good. You know, they had some holes in their lineup, but you know, they come here expecting to win. They got some veteran guys out there running out there. And so, you know, I think it's really changed kind of the landscape of baseball. And I say all the time, this is probably the best time for college baseball there's ever been. There's more talent in college baseball right now than we've ever seen. You know, you look at the 5-round draft 2 years ago. Last year, it was shortened to 20 rounds. I mean, there's a lot of guys that normally would sign and go on and be playing professional baseball that are now coming back to play, you know, another year of college baseball. And I think we're really seeing that product on the field get better, you know, every year. And it's good for college baseball. And just, you know, and I always say, anyone can beat anyone on any given day. You know, you can look at on paper, this team may be way better, but you know, you run up against a hot pitcher, or maybe you have a game where you line out 10 times in a game, which, you know, I keep numbers on hard hit balls. We've had a lot of balls hard at people in some of these games, especially into the wind. And so anything can happen, but I really do think it's a great time for college baseball right now.
You mentioned last year and the fact that they had a lot of these 2-1 type weekends. You know, I thought that in some of those series, that, you know, it really told you a lot about Arkansas that they would get behind in a series. You know, like, for instance, they lost to Alabama in Game 1 and they came back and won the series. They did the same thing against Auburn. What do you think it's told you about this year's team that they've been able to come back from those series opening losses and win these two series at home?
Well, I think it's typical Dave Van Horn baseball. You know, it's a Dave Van Horn team. They're a tough, gritty team, and I don't think they let it phase them. You know, they dropped that first game and they come out Saturday expecting to win and you know, win the series, and I think you always see that out of a Dave Van Horn team. They're not phased. I just think, and you know, I'm looking through the lens of thick Razorback goggles, but our brand of baseball is, it's a tough, gritty style. I just call it Razorback baseball. And, you know, they're able to overcome and just find a way to win. And one thing that I've said from day one is good teams find a way to win. You know, bad teams find a way to lose, but good teams find a way to win. And that's what we continue to do year in and year out.
Now, of course, Arkansas struggled to hit in Round Rock a couple of weeks ago. We saw a couple of instances last week where it seemed like maybe this lineup was starting to turn the corner and looking more like the, you know, the type of lineup that we expected Arkansas to have this year. They played Nebraska, Omaha in the midweek, had 15 runs and 15 hits in that game. They had two real big innings in the middle of that game where they scored 11 of their 15 runs over two innings. I think it was the fourth and the fifth innings. And then they turn around, they play Southeastern Louisiana on Friday, offensively struggling again. They lose 7-3. Not a great hitting performance in Game 1 of the doubleheader on Saturday. They win that one 4-2. Michael Turner had a big home run in the seventh inning of that game that gave Arkansas the lead. And then in the finale, they started to kind of look again like what we thought they would. They score 11 runs. They run rule Southeastern Louisiana. I thought one of the big positive takeaways from last weekend's series was that Jace Borfin really started to turn around at the plate. I think he was 0-16 or 0-17 before he had a couple of doubles late in the Friday night loss to Southeastern Louisiana. And then he comes out on Saturday. He goes 4-9 during the doubleheader. He was 3-5 with 5 RBI during the final game. He ends up going 6-11 in that series. And all of a sudden his batting average is back up above 200 points. What did you think watching him? And you've gone through your fair share of hitting slumps, I'm sure, Bubba. How hard is that when you're going through a slump? And then what's that feeling like when you finally bust out of it like the way he did?
It's tough when you get off to a bad start. I tell you, I was a notorious bad starter. I don't know why. Every year I would get off to a bad start. The best advice I ever got from a hitting coach was just like, take it 10 at bats at a time. So if you start out the season 0-10, watch those 10 at bats. You're 0-0. You start over and you go throughout the year. You go 10 at bats at a time. And it takes the pressure off of you. Instead of looking up the scoreboard, wow, I'm 0-16. No, you're not. You're it started over. You're 0-0. You know, yeah, it takes pressure off. But I tell you, Jace crushed a couple balls Friday night. He had two balls to right field. I think one was 106 off the bat, the other 103. Right fielder misjudged both of them. The wind's blowing in really hard. He ran straight across on both of them, thought he had a beat on him, ended up taking a banana route to the ball because he realized how hard the ball was hit. that just goes to show you that the type of power that, you know, Jace has. He can hit the all fields, but you could just see throughout the weekend his body language. It just, when he walked up to the plate, it wasn't, you know, I call it loading to see if you want to hit. You know, it looked like there for a while he was loading to see if he wanted to hit instead of loading to hit. And there's a big difference in the two, you know, your body language, the way you take pitches, the way you swing at pitches. And it's tough, man. When you're in a slump, it's a lot of times, though, Matt, you know, we could talk for hours about this, but a lot of times a hitting slump is really just guys swinging at bad pitches. I get people that send me hitting videos all the time, and they're like, "Well, I just don't, my swing doesn't feel right. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that." And they'll send me the video, and usually you watch the video, well, they're not hitting because they're swinging at bad pitches. You know, it's not a mechanical thing, but then that turns into a mental thing and you feel like you got to change your swing. Then it turns into a mechanical thing because then you start changing things when you should have. You should have just zoned in and got a better pitch to hit. And once you start thinking about the mechanics while you're trying to hit, you can't hit. I compare it all the time. I tell my kids, look, and parents, it's like hammering a nail. All right. So picture yourself hammering a nail. You grab the nail with your left hand. You grab the hammer. You extend the right wrist. You bend your elbow. Then you unbend your elbow. You uncock your wrist. You try to hit the nail on the head. If you actually think about that move, you're going to hit your thumb every time. You can't do it. That's like hitting. You don't think about hitting. You step outside the box. You have a plan. You step in and you execute it. You're on autopilot. It's muscle memory. And guys that start to struggle start to think about like the hammer hitting the nail. It's like, okay, I've got to load my butt. I've got to be connected. I've got to turn my barrel. Like, you know, you've got all these things you got to think about instead of just reacting and doing it. And I think you can see guys as like Jace Borfin, all of a sudden he was a different player. He was all of a sudden he's loading to hit. Now I don't know what's going through Jace's head, and maybe I'm a little bit on the psycho side, so I overthought things, and maybe I'm putting thoughts into his head that aren't there. But he just looked like a totally different hitter as the weekend went on. A lot of times getting a couple of big hits like that will do it for you.
His body language almost looked completely different after he got those hits.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, when he stepped into the plate, it looked like to me, instead of loading to see if he wanted to hit, he was loading to hit. And when that happens, that's a dangerous hitter. You can just tell by the body language, everything is different. You know, it's funny. I remember a quote a long time ago. I read it about Pete Rose. He said, "I don't go into a slump. I go into a lull." You know, and all hitters are going to have a funk they get in every once in a while. The key is, you know, limit it. You know, you can limit it to, you know, maybe one bad game. You know, the really good ones, one bad at bat, and they fix it. You know, the bad ones start to overthink things, change mechanics. Next thing you know, a bad game turns into a bad week, a bad month, and so on and so forth. And that's what you don't want to happen. But, you know, Hobbs and Bobby Wernis, those guys do such a good job with the guys, not just mechanically. You know, I think a good hitting coach is part psychologist and part, you know, part hitting coach. Yeah. You got to be able to get inside a guy's head and kind of coach him from the inside out and say, okay, now this is what you need to do right here. I don't know. At the end of the day, Jace is going to rake. He just looks like looks like a hitter, acts like a hitter. So he's going to be fine.
You know, when you and I were watching them in the preseason, the lineup was so consistent. Caden Wallace was hitting great in the two hole. You know, he's hitting really well right now. He's hitting .342, and it still doesn't feel like he's come anywhere near scratching the surface of his potential. But one of the things that I thought really made the lineup so good was that in the 3-4 holes, and it, you know, they kind of interchange this, is that Borfin and Michael Turner were really, you know, producing for them in those preseason scrimmages. Turner continues to do so. I mean, he's leading the team with a .344 average right now. He's got 10 RBI. That's the most on the team. 2 home runs. That's the most on the team. I think he's second on the team, maybe in doubles, or third on the team in doubles. And there've probably been 3 or 4 extra base hits that have been taken away, you know, from him because of all the windy conditions that they played in. It just feels to me, Bubba, like they've got Michael Turner going now. It feels like Caden Wallace is going. If they can get Borfin going, then all of a sudden that's 2-3-4. Robert Moore's hitting pretty well, you know, put him in the 5-hole. That's a really good, solid core of this lineup that now you're able to build around and then get the rest of those pieces going.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you got down at the bottom of the lineup, you've got Jalen Battles, you've got, you know, wherever Braden Webb, Brady Slavens, Chris Lanzilli, I still like him. There's not a lot of weak links in that lineup right now. So, you know, but I think you're right. The core of that lineup, once they heat up, it's going to be dangerous. And Michael Turner's been really impressive to me. You know, I keep a kind of a chart for hard hit balls that are hit deep, mm-hmm. that have been caught. I've counted just at home alone. Now, you know, I've counted 13 balls hit that would have most likely gone out of the park on most days. That might be a little bit inflated, but you know, when it's hit deep, I put a note out beside it, usually with exit velo and then, you know, where they caught it. But I have 13 of those balls. Michael Turner's hit six balls right now that have been caught that most days, as we get later into the year, hopefully will be home runs. And he hit them to all field. He hit them to left field. He hit them to center. He's hit them to right field. And so, you know, it's really good to see his consistency at the plate. And he's, I like the fact that he takes what they give him. If they throw him a fastball away, he stays on it. You know, if they throw him one in, boy, he'll turn on it, hammer it to right field. So mm-hmm. he's been really impressive in the middle of that lineup. And like you said, as these other guys heat up around him, that's just going to make him better, because yeah, it's not like you can pitch around one guy to get to the next. You know, you can't pitch around Caden Wallace. You know, you got Michael Turner, and you can't pitch around Michael Turner because you got Robert Moore. You know, and then behind Robert, you got Chris Lanzilli or Jace Borfin or whoever. I mean, it's a tough lineup to maneuver when they all start clicking.
Yeah, you mentioned Lanzilli. He's got a .425 on base average. I think that's a little bit undervalued. He's done a great job of getting on base for this team. Might have the longest on base streak by any of the Razorbacks this year. Turner had a couple of hits that were taken away against Indiana at Round Rock too, in addition to those six that you talked about. I was listening to Dave Van Horn, and you were there too, on Monday this week at Swatters Club, talk about the way you've got to hit when you're facing windy conditions like this team has faced. And we'll talk more about the wind here in just a minute. But I thought that the seventh inning home run that Turner hit against Southeastern Louisiana in game one of that doubleheader was the perfect hit for that type of condition. It went to the, you know, the best part of the ballpark, in that right field corner where you're kind of shielded from the seats on one side, you're shielded from the building on the other, just a low line drive. I think it was an 18 degree launch angle. The perfect hit for that moment in the game.
Look at you go, Matt. I'm rubbing off on you. Are you talking about launch angle, exit velo? I like it. You'll be talking about spin rate before you know it.
I might.
No, but you're absolutely right. If you're going to, on those windy days, I think the lefties have an advantage because they can hit that ball low to right field, and that wind's going to shade that, or the building's going to block the wind a little bit. So if you can keep it low to right field, you know, I mean, that's low hanging fruit right there. But you got to get the pitch to do it on. You can't be trying to pull an outside pitch over the right field fence. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Michael's. He's a veteran guy. He's you know, he's been through it before. When he gets that pitch inside, he hits it. If they throw it away, he goes the other way with it. So I really like his approach right now. And, you know, but you're right, boy, with that building out there, it's kind of changed the landscape of the field. And then there's an opening between the scoreboard and the building where it's like a jet stream where the wind just howls through that gap. So you got to hit it either at the scoreboard or at the building. You don't want to hit it through that opening because the wind howls through that one little spot there. It's kind of crazy how it works. Caden Wallace took a 3-0 pitch. What was it? Was it Friday night that he hit the 3-0 pitch to right field, and he smoked that ball to right field, and he got caught right there. He hit it in that kind of opening towards mm-hmm. the scoreboard, and it just didn't go anywhere. Any other night, that's probably off the scoreboard.
Yeah, the right fielder caught that one right at the fence. I thought that was a home run off of the bat, and I think he probably thought it was too. Back to Turner, I can't say enough good things about what I've seen from him through 3 weeks, and I'm really impressed, Bubba, by his versatility. You saw him obviously hit. You see him behind the plate. They like the way he calls games. Southeastern Louisiana was thought to be a team that might challenge Arkansas on the base pads, and Turner threw out multiple base runners throughout the weekend, really limited the run game. I know a lot of that has to do with how quickly the pitchers get the ball to the plate as well. But then you see him in game three after he's caught two games in less than 24 hours. You don't want him catching again. So they put him at first base. He made a couple of really, really nice defensive plays at first base in that third game against Southeastern Louisiana. And I can't say enough good things about the all-around versatility that he has. This is a really solid transfer pickup, I think, for the Razorbacks this year.
Well, God bless the transfer portal, right? we won one there. But you're right. He's been able to do so many things, and he really did shut down the running game. And he threw these guys out by 15 feet. It wasn't close, Matt. The only guy that stole on him, it was a fastball up and in. And so he had to reach up into the right-handed batter and then try to get in position to throw. And it was still close at second, but I think he really stole that one off the pitcher. But I will credit, you know, Matt Hobbs and the pitching staff. Those guys do a great job of holding runners close. Plus they get the ball home quick. I mean, they get it to the plate in a hurry, and they give the catcher a chance. And boy, you know, you got to really love that as a catcher. You know, when you've got a pitching staff that can hold runners close and then get the ball home quick, you know, some of these teams that we face, you know, are, you know, 1-4, 1-5 to the plate, and catcher doesn't have a chance there, you know, throwing someone out. And so, yeah, it's kind of a combination. You know, I tell my younger guys, look, you know, y'all are working together on this. Pitcher's got to get it to my catcher in a hurry. Catcher's got to catch it, throw it to second. You know, you got to catch the ball and put a tag on it. So it's a complicated play, but when everything goes right, it's pretty to watch.
I want to talk about the wind for just a minute. You heard Van Horn talk about that earlier this week. He said that he thinks there have been 10 home runs that have been taken away from this team this year because of the winds that they've been facing. Abnormal winds this time of year at Baum Walker Stadium. Usually early in the year, you get a north wind that's at the back of the hitters. I think you can get a lot of cheap home runs at this time of year. They go to Round Rock. The wind is blowing straight into their face all three games. We talked about that and how challenging that was last week, again against Southeastern Louisiana. A real stiff wind that they're hitting against, this time more of a southwest wind that goes from right to left field foul pole. We saw probably two or three or four home runs off of the bats of both teams last weekend blow foul. You know, hits that looked like they would be home runs on most days because of those strong winds that were blowing out to left field. It's not an excuse. Both teams are having to play with the wind. But to me, Bubba, it seems like at some point the winds are, you know, the prevailing winds are going to be like they typically are at Baum Stadium. You know, they're going to play in more normal wind conditions when they go on the road to some of these places. It just seems to me like if you didn't have those winds, we wouldn't be talking about offensive struggles right now, because the runs per game and the, you know, the average with runners in scoring position or runners on base or, you know, the slugging percentage, all of those would be a lot higher than what they are right now. And it just seems to me like they're still taking pretty good at bats. They're still having a pretty good approach at the plate this year. Outside of that day when they struck out 28 times against Stanford and Louisiana Lafayette, you're not seeing this team strike out a whole lot. I think you take away those two games, they've got 57 strikeouts in eight games. That's an average of about 7 strikeouts a game. That's not a terrible number in today's baseball game. It just feels to me, though, like, you know, the wind has been against them for the first few weeks of the season. That's going to temper down, and you're going to start seeing this offense, you know, become a lot more fruitful when that happens.
I think so. You know, I was talking to some of my coaches last night, and they were talking about the offense struggling. And I was like, look, guys, you know, we've hit so many balls hard. I think the only game I was disappointed in, you know, I don't think – I didn't like our approach against Kinsler. I think it's Kinsler, the Friday night
Friday starter for Southeastern. Yeah.
I thought we should have hit him better. We knew what he was going to do. He stayed away. I don't think we did a very good job adjusting. And look, I don't like talking about the negatives. You know, it's easy to sit up in the press box and say, oh, well, why didn't we go the other way? Why did we swing at that? It's not that easy. So, you know, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, I wasn't sure we didn't make an adjustment against him. But with that being said, we still, in my book, I have us for 6 hard hit outs in that game. That could have changed that game. First game on Saturday, you know, we won 4-2. We hit 9 balls right on the screws that they caught. So that could have been, instead of 4-2, that could have been 10-2 easily. You know, we hit some balls really hard on Saturday. And then, you know, the second game on Saturday, I mean, we hit a lot of balls hard that fell. So, I mean, that's part of the game, though. That's something you can't control. You know, when the wind's blowing in, I'm not a guy that says hit the top half of the ball, because ground balls are outs. I tell my guys, cut the ball in half. I think a lot of it is pitch selection. You know, if the wind's blowing in, you know, you got to see the ball down in the zone just a little bit, maybe flatten out your attack just a little bit, but a lot of it's pitch selection. If you swing at a high pitch, you're typically going to hit it high, you know? And so, you know, a lot of it is that, but you don't want to change your approach too much. You don't really want to change your approach. I think it's just more pitch selection, Matt, but we have hit a lot of balls hard. And I really think this team, I mean, that's the type of players we have on the team. And when we go on the road, or when the wind starts to shift, I said, you know, we're going to start scoring a lot more runs. And I'm just not worried about it at all. And it's just funny how people, they don't look at the hard hit balls. They just look at, oh, well, we only scored 2 runs. Well, you know, or 3 runs. I'm like, well, yeah, but go back and look at some of the at bats and look where we hit the ball, how hard we hit it. And then that tells you kind of the true story of what's going on.
And it's not just home runs. I mean, those line drives, they can go for doubles, they can go for triples, they can go for a hard hit single off the wall. You know, those are balls that are getting caught up in the wind too right now, that I think, you know, have really hurt the Razorbacks to this point in the year. The Whole Hog Baseball Podcast is sponsored by Massage Envy, voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Visit Mike and his staff in Tuscany Square at 2603 West Pleasant Grove Road in Rogers, or in Fayetteville at 3557 North Shiloh Drive. Massage Envy has services for everyone. MassageEnvy.com.
Massage Envy, with clinics in Rogers and Fayetteville, has been awarded Northwest Arkansas's Best Day Spa and Best Massage. One of the reasons is our care for athletes, both serious and recreational. We now offer rapid tension relief sessions using a high-caliber vibrating tool and total body stretch sessions like the ones used by the PGA. Both of these new services can be combined with the always popular deep muscle treatment. So whether you compete or just want to relax, there is no place better than Massage Envy.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
You know what never goes out of style? A great burger. And for a long time now, the best burgers around have been made at CJ's Butcher Boy. I've been stopping at their Russellville location for years to enjoy a double with bacon, cheese, and all the fixings. Well, the fries are always made fresh, and their shakes are made with real premium ice cream. And now that CJ's Butcher Boy has a Fayetteville location too on Weddington, you can bet I'll be there a lot more. CJ's Butcher Boy in Russellville and Fayetteville. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. Now let's look at this week in the SEC, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers.
Big week in the SEC as Tennessee and LSU went to the College Classic and saw the best competition they've seen yet. Tennessee went 2-1 in Houston. LSU was 1-2. Both of those teams lost to Texas in the College Classic. The Longhorns now 5-0 against SEC teams. They'll try to improve that record again this weekend when they go to South Carolina. Another big series last week. Mississippi State lost at Tulane. The Bulldogs now, Bubba, have lost 2 series in their first 3 games. I think it goes to show that when you are the favorite and when you are number one, teams really gun for you. And Mississippi State doesn't seem like they've handled that too well to this point in the year.
No, they've been struggling. That was a big surprise. You know, they won Friday night 19-2. But boy, then after that, it just didn't go well. Lost 11-10 and then 5-4. It's tough, man, when you got that bullseye on your back. You know, yeah. The Razorbacks dealt with it all year last year, being number one. And that makes it even more special the season they have, being number one most of the season, because everyone everyone wanted to beat the Razorbacks last year. And, you know, I think Mississippi State's kind of seeing that right now, and they're struggling at 7-6. But once again, it's early in the year. You know, things can change. But I think Texas is the team, and I hate to say it because I can't stand the Longhorns. But I tell you what, they look really good right now. Their pitching staff is just – they're just shutting teams down. You know, Tennessee only scored two against them. LSU scored one. They've just really shut teams down. And so it's they look to be the real deal this year. So we'll see what happens when we get deeper in the season.
Texas reminds me a lot of Arkansas from last season. I think they pitched better than the Razorbacks did last year. But, man, you look at them, I mean, across the board, these are really old players, whether it be, you know, Trey Feltini, you know, some of the other players that they have in the lineup. It's like, how long have these guys been at Texas? 5-6 years? They've got a lot of multi-year starters, and they look really, really good. They looked good in those two games against Tennessee and LSU in Houston. Against LSU, they had more than 25,000 people inside Minute Maid Park for that game, which kind of goes to show you the popularity of the college game right now. Mentioned Mississippi State. I got to watch the Sunday game, a little bit of the Sunday game against Tulane, watch the end of it. Boy, they are having a lot of bullpen problems. You know, they took Landon Sims out of their bullpen and moved him into the starting rotation. And during that 19-2 game, he was off to an incredible start. I think he struck out 10 of the first 11 hitters that he faced. But then he went out shaking his arm, looked like it might be an elbow problem. Don't know the severity of that injury, but boy, that could be a huge loss for Mississippi State if Sims can't come back, because a lot of people thought he would be SEC, if not National Pitcher of the Year.
Yeah, boy, you hate to see that, man, when you see a guy walk off the mound like that. I've been trying to find some information on it, and I can't find – there's nothing – at least I can't find any information on what the injury was. But, yeah, when you see a guy walk off the mound like that, it's not good. And you hate to see that for anybody, and that's a huge blow to a team that's kind of scuffling right now, you know, to lose their number one guy. And I don't know if they have the depth to overcome that. You know, us losing our Friday night guy and Peyton Paulette, you know, we've got enough depth where we can, you know, we've already done a really good job of replacing Peyton, you know, and it hurt us last year when we lost Paulette. I still say if we had Peyton Paulette at the end of the year last year, we go to Omaha. But, you know, we've got enough depth right now. You know, we moved the rotation around a little bit. Connor Nolan jumps into Friday night, and our starting pitching's been great.
Mississippi State in that second game against Tulane, by the way, they were up 10-2, gave up 9 straight runs, lost 11-10. And then talking about problems within their bullpen, they actually allowed Tulane to tie game 3 with a balk with the bases loaded. Just a lot of problems there for the Bulldogs bullpen. Another notable outcome last week, Kentucky won a home series against TCU. Kentucky's off to a pretty good start, and they come to Baumwalker Stadium next weekend. This looks like a Kentucky team to me, Bubba, that is a lot like some of the other Nick Mangione teams. I don't know that they can pitch, but they seem like they can really hit.
Yeah, you know, it looks like it'll be interesting to see when they come in here how well they play, because their track record here at Baumwalker hasn't been very good. And, you know, I go back, Matt, I don't forget stuff very easy. I don't like Kentucky. I actually hate Kentucky because of something that happened a few years ago when they came in and with an assistant coach kind of talking down to Dave Van Horn there at our dugout. And I don't know if you remember all that. I'm not going to get into all the details.
I do know that when Kentucky has come to town, it seems like there's been a lot of chirping between the dugouts.
Oh, there's a lot. And so, you know, anyway, I happened to be standing there when this guy popped off to Dave Van Horn. And he's just he was a little assistant, you know. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the guy. But anyway, yeah, we went ahead and put a beat down on them after that and swept them. But, you know, it's something that I won't forget, because you don't talk to Dave Van Horn that way. You're a little assistant coach. Go do your job, you know. And I think it's just a lack of respect. And, you know, Kentucky would come in and they did the hack attack ground balls. I don't know if you remember any of this. Phil and I talked about it a lot on the air, where they bring out all these hack attacks. They shoot ground balls through these hack attack machines. And they went on to be last in the league in fielding percentage. And so I don't know if they've done away with the hack attacks yet or not, but that's somebody just trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, you can take hack attack ground balls all day, but a ball comes off a bat different than it comes out of the hack attack machine. So I thought it was kind of a lot of eye service what they were doing. And so, anyway, it'll be interesting to see when they come in, you know, following weekend, see what happens. I'm looking forward to that series. I'm really looking forward to getting SEC play going.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. Mentioned that Texas is in South Carolina this week. That's really the only notable series a lot of teams are using this weekend to play some more mid and low major teams in preparation for SEC play beginning next week. SEC rankings this week, Vanderbilt moved back up to number 2 after they went to Hawaii and swept a series against the Rainbow Warriors. Ole Miss won 2 of 3 at UCF. They fell one place in the poll to number 3. Tennessee, the voters seem to be really impressed with what the Volunteers are doing right now. They moved up to number 4 after those games in Houston. Arkansas, number 7 in the coaches poll this week. LSU, number 9. Florida, number 10. Georgia is number 15. They lost 2 of 3 to Georgia Tech over the weekend. And Mississippi State fell out of the coaches' top 25. CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers are the best in 2 towns. Visit the original at 2803 North Arkansas Avenue in Russellville, or the newest location at 3484 West Weddington Drive in Fayetteville, just minutes from the ballpark. Skip the line and order online or download the app in your app store. CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers, when all you do are burgers, they have to be the best. Bubba, you and I talked about hitting in the first segment. I want to talk about pitching now. And the thing that stood out to me last week for the Razorbacks was that you had really impressive performances by freshmen. Hagan Smith throws 7 innings, 9 strikeouts, 2 runs in the first game of Saturday's doubleheader. But really the story I thought was the debut of Austin Ledbetter, Brady Tigert, and Nick Moten. All 3 of them have scoreless debuts last week. And then I think Brady Tigert might be in line to be the Razorbacks closer now.
You're right. I tell you, it was a good weekend for the freshmen. You know, there weren't a lot of positives to take from Friday, but the one thing we already talked about was Jace Borfin getting his back going. But the main thing for me was Austin Ledbetter. Boy, he came in and he was just in control. He really was, and just dominated 2 2/3 innings. It looked really good. Didn't look like a freshman. You know, looked poised out there. I loved his mound presence. He got the ball and just threw it. Just really looked in control. And, you know, the thing is, you know, he said he didn't have his best stuff, but I thought he looked pretty good. But you're right, you know, Brady Tigert, you know, coming in and closing that game, and that says a lot right there in a 4-2 game for Dave Van Horn to call on a freshman to come in and close. So they've got a lot of confidence in him. He's got electric stuff. And so I think he's going to be really, really good for the Razorbacks this year. And Moten looked good. Hagan Smith, you know, I said before the game on Saturday, and I wasn't really disparaging the Southeastern hitters, but I just said, you know, Hagan Smith, all he's got to do is come in there and throw strikes and not force any errors. And he's going to dominate this lineup, because if you look at the Southeastern swings and you look at the way Hagan Smith pitches, there's no chance. I mean, he dominated that lineup just because of the way he pitches. He can ride that fastball at the top of the zone. And, you know, they don't have many guys in that lineup that can catch up to that pitch, you know, and Hagan really made one bad pitch to Faulkner, their 4-hole hitter, and he hit it over the fence. Other than that, mm-hmm. I mean, he dominated that game. He really looked impressive. And I think he got better as the game went on. He started landing some changeups, and I got to see really how good that changeup is. And the slider looked good. So he's the real deal.
Van Horn was really impressed with Tigert in the Wednesday game against Omaha. They brought him in for the 7th inning of that game, and then 2 pitches later, Omaha had runners at 1st and 3rd because both of those hitters had gotten, you know, really good hits on what the coaches thought were good pitches from Tigert. He doesn't give up a run. And Van Horn, I think, was really impressed with that, the fact that you're 2 pitches into your collegiate debut and you've got runners on the corners and you get out of it without giving up a run. He said that he made it a point to talk with the rest of the team about that after the game, you know, really was applauding Tigert's performance. And he said he thought that showed him something about what Tigert can do in pressure situations that a closer is going to come into quite often. And he was throwing a 95 to 96 mile an hour fastball. Van Horn says he can throw a curveball, but we didn't see that last weekend. He thinks he could be even more effective once he starts landing some of those.
Oh, his curveball is ridiculous. I mean, it's sharp, it's late break. You know, I don't know if you call it a slider or a curveball, but it's really good. But yeah, I love the fact that he had runners at first and third and was able to pitch out of it. And he didn't look fazed by it. And that's tough, you know. You throw your first two batters, get hits, and they didn't hit either one of them hard. He made good pitches. They just, you know, they're just up there swinging at the first pitch, and that's baseball though. And so he did a really good job pitching out of it. And I agree with Dave right there. He showed a lot of poise to not let that faze him and just continue to make quality pitches and get out of that inning.
Now, we don't have the starting pitchers yet for Arkansas series this weekend. The prevailing thought is that for the doubleheader on Thursday, that in one of the two games you're going to see Connor Noland, and in one of the two games you're going to see Austin Ledbetter on the mound for the Razorbacks. Ledbetter made his debut last week, had five strikeouts in 2 2/3 innings of the Friday game against Southeastern Louisiana. They brought him in after Southeastern Louisiana had scored 7 in an inning to take the lead, and had a, you know, big sizable lead, and he was able to buy some innings for that bullpen. What did you see from Ledbetter, Bubba, and what are you expecting to see out of him as a starter?
Well, I think he's got four pitches he can throw over the plate, and he really just, you know, I mean, he just commanded the strike zone when he was out there. He was working ahead of hitters, changed speeds, you know, but more importantly, just his mound presence. He didn't look like a freshman out there pitching. He really didn't. And he's a guy that's, you know, he's played football. He's used to the big stage, the lights, and none of that's going to faze him. I think he's got the ability to slow the game down and just go out there and attack hitters. And that's what he did. And it was pretty impressive to see. And, you know, hopefully I think he definitely earned his start, whether it be Thursday or not, but he earned another shot out there. So, looking forward to seeing him just keep getting better as a Razorback.
I thought one of the big developments last week was that the starters were able to extend themselves quite a bit. Connor Noland pitched into the sixth inning. Hagan Smith pitched 7. Jackson Wiggins pitched into the 7th. And all three of those pitchers, Bubba, they were able to extend their pitch counts into the 90s. I think Connor Noland threw 90 pitches. Smith might have thrown 97. Wiggins threw 96. It's one thing to want your pitchers to extend themselves at this point in the year, and it's another thing to pitch well enough to where you can get up to those pitch counts. And I thought the fact that the starters were able to give Arkansas 18 2/3 combined innings on week 3 of the season was a really nice development for this team.
I think so. And the thing I like most about it, Matt, is they got better as the game went on. They really did. I thought Connor looked good Friday night. You know, he kind of got in a jam. He hit a guy with a 2-strike pitch. But, you know, before that, he had just been dominating. You know, Hagan, as the game went on, his off-speed got better. Early in the game, he was getting guys to chase that fastball just at the top of the zone. But, boy, he started landing some changeups and some sliders as the game went on. It just got better. Same with Jackson Wiggins. You know, as the game went on, he seemed to get stronger and, you know, had that slider going, threw some good changeups, you know, slider cutter, whatever you call that. You know, but what was impressive to me is on his, I think it was his 96th pitch. I want to say he threw a pitch 97 miles an hour on his 95th or 96th pitch, which is, that's pretty impressive right there. That just shows mm-hmm. the strength and stamina that he's got. And so he's really doing, I'm proud of how he's been out there competing this year and doing well and throwing strikes, you know, for the most part. You know, he got behind a few hitters, but, you know, he's got – his stuff is good enough. I know he got behind Faulkner, their four-hole hitter, and threw him a 3-1 fastball and basically just threw it by him. I think he popped it up to the catcher. And, you know, that's what you can pitch from behind when you've got stuff like Jackson Wiggins. You know, you can't hang a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, so you can just say, here it is, come hit it.
All three of those starters were scoreless through 5 innings. Kind of interesting. Southeastern Louisiana scored all 10 of its runs last week in the 6th inning. 7-run 6th on Friday, a 2-run 6th on Saturday, a 1-run 6th in the second game of the doubleheader on Saturday. In that 7-run inning, Bubba, really the one thing that I think is concerning about this pitching staff to this point is the number of batters that they are hitting. It's 14 through 10 games. And during that big inning, there were 3 hit batters. There were also 3 walks. Southeastern Louisiana, to its credit, also had 4 hits during that inning. They sent 13 hitters to the plate. The hit batters, I thought, were really a contributor to that big inning, because you mentioned Connor Nolan hit a batter on a 1-2 pitch to lead off the inning. If he gets hit, you know, if he strikes him out there or gets a ground out or something there, there's probably two outs based on what the next hitter does. And that 7-run inning doesn't materialize the way it does. How do you go about not hitting batters? Is this a matter you think of early in the year? Does the cold play into that a little bit, having a bad feel for the ball? Where do you think those are coming from?
You know, I think it's a philosophy with the pitching staff. I know, you know, Matt Hobbs, they're not afraid to pitch inside. Razorback pitchers aren't. I mean, you saw it in the fall scrimmages. I know the last scrimmage I was at, I want to say 3 Razorbacks got hit, maybe 4 in that last scrimmage. It's just they like pitching inside. And I think that's good. I think in college baseball, you've got to be able to, you can't be scared to come in on hitters. And our pitchers have shown they're not afraid to come inside. Now, I think the only thing that gets me is when you've got a guy hitting, you know, 148, you know, Shea Thomas, the third baseman, you know, he's hitting 148. You don't want to hit him. We hit Christian Garcia. We hit him twice. Well, he's hitting 161. When a guy's hitting 161, you don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Say, here it is, hit it. You know, take your chances. You know, and I know Ramage walked, I think it was Jake Johnson. He walked on 4 pitchers who was hitting 048 at the time. And look, Colwin trying to walk him. I think that was one of those cases where you're just trying so hard to throw a strike that you just can't do it. You know, and I think that happens, but I feel like sometimes if you're, I think that was the frustrating thing, I guess you can say, is when I see a guy hitting 048 or 140, you know, don't take a chance coming inside, you know, elevate a fastball, bounce a curveball, do something, you know, make him put the ball in play. Don't do him a favor. You're doing him a favor when you hit him, because those guys we had out there on the mound, they're way better than those guys that were standing in that batter's box. And so, you know, go get them. But, you know, it's a philosophy that you know, and I haven't talked enough to Matt Hobbs. I shouldn't say it's a philosophy. I just know, going track record from seasons past, we pitch inside a lot, and that's what makes our pitchers effective. And you know, they're going to continue to do it. And I think, you know, sometimes you're going to hit guys, and it's just part of the game. And you know, it's I don't know if you can blame it on the weather. Maybe it is early in the season. You know, it's cold. You don't get a good grip on the ball, or, you know, but it happens, and it is what it is.
One of the pitchers who hit a batter during that big inning was Isaac Bracken. Dave Van Horn says that he's going to be out for at least 10 days, if not 2 weeks, with a groin injury. So he won't be available for the Razorbacks during this series against UIC. Might be able to be back by the Kentucky series. We'll see. And then, Bubba, I think if there was one thing that Dave Van Horn didn't like pitching-wise on Saturday when they swept Southeastern Louisiana in the doubleheader, it was that he couldn't get Nick Griffin into the game for the 9th inning. It was kind of a bizarre end of that game. Nobody in the stadium outside of the umpires and the coaching staffs knew that there was a run roll, and Jace Borfin scores on a wild pitch to put Arkansas up 11-1 in the 8th inning, and the game's over, and everybody's kind of surprised. I asked Borfin afterward if he knew if there was a run roll. He said, no, not until I got to third. And Nate Thompson told me, hey, watch for a ball bouncing right here, because if it does, I want you to go score, and that'll be the end of the game. And so that's how the game ended. Van Horn was kind of frustrated, I guess, if that's the word, that he couldn't get Nick Griffin into the game, because they really wanted to see how he could pitch at the end of the game. We mentioned that Brady Tiger is being looked at as a closer. I think Griffin is still being evaluated as a closer too.
Well, I was frustrated too. And, you know, it's funny. I didn't know what was going on. We didn't know in the booth that there was a run rule. And I'd already said, you know, I was looking for, I saw Nick Griffin warming up, and I'd already said, you know, hey, I'm excited to see Nick come in and pitch. And then next thing you know, the game's over. It's funny though. I guess people out there really don't care about this, but we had kind of the situation in my 10-year-old game Friday night where we had a runner at third. And if he scores, it's a run rule. And I told him, I said, hey, on a pass ball, you're not going, because I wanted my batter to hit. You know, my 4-hole guy was up at the plate. I wanted to see him hit. Well, what happens? There's a pass ball on the first pitch and he scores. I'm like, no, don't do it. So I wish we could have kept Jace Borfin at third right there, and just let's go ahead and play out that next inning. But, you know, I'm sure they were ready to go home. It had been a long day, but we're going to get to see him pitch a lot. I tell you, I know Dave Van Horn likes him a lot. Hobbs, they've said a lot of good things about him. The one time I saw him throw, he was really good. He's just electric from the left side. He could be a guy that could end up being a closer somewhere down the road.
I've been impressed with their left-handed relief pitchers, whether it be Griffin, that one inning that he threw down in Round Rock against Louisiana Lafayette. I think Evan Taylor has kind of turned the corner and done some good things. I think Zach Morris is got a lot more potential than what we've seen from him. And I think that, you know, he's going to end up being a decent reliever for them down the road this season. I can't remember Arkansas having this many options from the left side in the bullpen in the past several years.
No, I can't either. You know, Cade Monk did a good job for us last year. You know, obviously we had Matt Cronin, who was one of a kind from the left side. But who's really impressed me is Evan Taylor. I really like how they've dropped his arm slot down. I watch left-handed batters, the way they react to him, and they are not comfortable in the box against him. He's got that slider that he can start right at the front hip and break over the front door of the plate. He's got a two-seam fastball he can run in. That's just a deadly combination. And he can also go, you know, outside with that slider to lefties, you know. And even righties don't seem – I was really interested to see how righties reacted to him. And they don't seem to pick up the ball very well from him either. And so I think he's going to be a big weapon for us. If he can come out of that pen and get some of these big lefty hitters out, even if it's just, one at bat, just a lefty specialist, that's going to be really big for us, because I know when we get in SEC play, there's some big left-handed bats in the middle of those lineups that we're going to need someone to come in big situations to get it out. And, you know, I think Evan Taylor's done a great job so far of proving he can do that.
Massage Envy has been voted the best day spa and best massage in all of Northwest Arkansas. Great therapists and estheticians go along with a new service that I am truly excited about. Rapid Tension Relief uses a special tool that will melt the tension and soreness away. Trust me, you will not be disappointed in the results. I highly recommend this feature along with a total body stretch assisted stretch program. Whether you are competing at a high level or just want to relax, these services are for everyone. Massage, rapid tension relief, total body stretch, deep muscle treatment massage, you choose. Or you can try any combination of those. So the next time you're feeling tight, make sure to call my friends at Massage Envy.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video on Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video on Demand app. Get it today.
Grease Pig, this is Mike.
Coming in hot! So I can just stay in my vehicle during my oil change?
That's right. The Grease Pig wants to help keep you safe, so now you can stay in your vehicle during your oil change.
These guys are working like a pit crew.
That's part of our 17-point inspection, where we check your belts and hoses, we check and fill all your fluids, and offer full repair on all vehicles. And of course, we use Castrol products.
Why do I smoke coffee?
You know our waiting room is still open.
And give up front row seats to my own oil change? No thank you. You're doing awesome! Mike, I think I'm making them uncomfortable.
Get into the Grease Pig, your local automotive specialist for over 20 years.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. Let's take a look at the week ahead, presented by Grease Pig.
Arkansas will play UIC, the University of Illinois at Chicago, four times this weekend. As we said earlier, the first game is going to be Thursday at noon. It'll be the first game of a doubleheader. They won't play Friday when there's snow and sleet in the forecast in Fayetteville. There's still a game scheduled for Saturday, although I would think that game could potentially be in jeopardy depending on how much accumulation we get in Fayetteville, how ready the field is for play on Saturday. The forecast is above freezing, but not too much above freezing on Saturday. And so I would think that game could potentially be either canceled or moved. And Dave Van Horn says they won't play more than one game on Sunday when the weather's supposed to be nice again and in the 60s. It's supposed to be a first pitch at 12:30 on Sunday afternoon. Week Ahead is brought to you by the Grease Pig. For 20 years, they have specialized in serving UA students, faculty, and staff with two locations in Fayetteville on College Avenue and MLK Boulevard. The Grease Pig has experience for all your repair needs and, of course, complete service oil changes staffed with ASE certified master technicians. They also provide tires and alignment services at their location on College Avenue. The Grease Pig, it's all about taking care of you, and a proud supporter of the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. UIC is from the Horizon League, and earlier this year we had Joe Healy from Baseball America on to talk about the teams that Arkansas would see in the non-conference, and he said that there are really two teams in the Horizon League that stand out above everybody else. There's Wright State and there's UIC, and here's some more of what Joe Healy had to say.
This specific team, it tends to be a pitching and defense outfit, but I think this group is probably a little more offensive. Brian Rosario is a kid who hit 400 last year. Josh Figueroa, 351. Cole Kahn hit 9 home runs. Nate Peterson's a transfer from Oklahoma on the mound. He's a guy just given, you know, his talent that should break through right away. And like I said, this does tend to be a pitching and defense type of team. I'm not sure quite what to make of the fact that it looks like it's a little more offensive team. You could read that as, you know, we will trust that they will get the pitching figured out. And that means this team might actually be pretty doggone good because offense is usually not their calling card. Or you could look at it as, you know, this might be the year that they actually don't get it done as much on the mound, and that might spell trouble for them. So, you know, by this point of the season, hopefully their hope is they will have things a little bit more figured out, more settled on the mound. But the same will be true of Arkansas here. But it's, you know, of the teams they're playing in non-conference, I think this is the one that probably, certainly it's far from a cupcake, if you will. But of the three other series, when we talk Illinois State, Southeastern, and UIC, I think this is the one that will be the lightest lift, if you will, for the Razorbacks.
That was Joe Healy of Baseball America. Bubba, this is one of those teams, again, I think, like what we talked about in the open, a team that I think could, you know, potentially end up in a regional in June, give some teams some problems. They've got some good left-handed pitching, and Dave Van Horn expects that this is going to be another challenge for his team this weekend.
I think so. And, you know, anytime you're facing a team that's got a couple of good lefties, you know, it's anything can happen. And if you look at their stats, pitching wise, they're actually doing a pretty good job. They've got Nate Peterson's a guy that beat Cal on a Friday night out of the Pac-12, really threw well against them. He's a veteran guy. You know, they got another Sam Maneget. He's got good numbers. Matt Zahora coming in. He looks like a just coming out of the pen. 185 batting average again. So, you know, it looks like to me they've got some guys that throw strikes. And so it's not going to be a cakewalk. You know, these guys are going to come in here expecting to win. I tell you what, though, looking at their offensive stats, Matt, I think if you look at them as a team, their own base percentage is .306. The numbers that jump out to me is 112 strikeouts, and they've only walked 28 times. So if you do the math on that, they're striking out over 12 times a game as a team, and they're not facing Razorback pitchers. Razorback pitchers, we strike out a lot of guys. So, but it is early in the season. You know, they've got a lot of guys hitting under 200 right now early. They're hit 221 as a team. But they do have some guys. They've got some veteran guys back from last year. They ranked, I think, 9th in the nation last year in batting average. They've got 5 of those returners coming back. So, you know, they can hit. They're just off to a slow start right now. But that 112 strikeouts in 9 games, that's a big number right there. So, you know, Razorback pitchers might have a good time with that if we're on the top of our game.
Bubba, what is the impact of playing doubleheaders on 3 consecutive weekends like Arkansas is going to do this week? And maybe from a psychological standpoint, what do you have to do to get yourself ready for playing 2 games in one day?
You know, for these guys, I think they love it. Anyone that loves the game of baseball, believe it or not, I love doubleheaders. You know, I think you just it's a chance for multiple guys to get out there and get some playing time, get a few more arms in the game. And so, you know, I don't think from a mindset, I think guys just look at it as another chance to go out there and compete and get some extra innings in. So I think they embrace it, especially if you look at the weather forecast. You're like, okay, wait, it's going to be 60 on Thursday, 30 on Friday. Let's play 2 Thursday and enjoy that warm weather while it lasts. But, you know, you talk about this UIC team. you know, you and I were talking about Curtis Granderson donate a bunch of money to the program, kind of got him on the face of the, kind of got him on the map as far as baseball, because though they call their batter's eye the best batter's eye in all of college baseball.
Yeah.
You know, where they've got downtown Chicago in the background now.
You can see the Willis Tower over at the batter's eye.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I'm a Northwest Arkansas guy. I can think of a whole lot better views that I'd want to look at, you know, than the Chicago skyline. But hey, maybe that's just me. I kind of like Baum Walker's batter's eye, if you ask me. But that's just I thought I saw that in there, and I've heard that before, and so I thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, Granderson, who I think you played with, right? He gave $5 million toward a $10 million construction of that stadium about 8 years ago, and I think I read that Sports Illustrated said it was the largest one-time gift that a professional athlete had ever given his alma mater.
See, that's awesome. It's good to see a guy like that give it back. You know, I know he does a lot for youth in Chicago, also youth baseball. But, you know, think about that stadium. It's the capacity on that stadium is 1,000 people. So, you know, if we pack in Baum Walker this weekend and we throw 10, 11,000 in the stands, these guys aren't going to know what to do. They're not going to be used to playing in front of a crowd like that. So we'll see how they respond when that happens.
So obviously Arkansas is still using this time to, you know, figure out how they want to use players, you know, whether it be out of the bullpen or how they want to put them in their lineup. I think one of the intriguing things to watch this weekend, Bubba, is who's going to hit leadoff. Is it going to be Zach Gregory? Is it going to be Peyton Stovall? They let Stovall hit leadoff for the games against Southeastern Louisiana. We thought that they might not, based on you know, what we had seen down in Round Rock the week before, but they kept him in the lineup. It seems to me like maybe Dave Van Horn and Nate Thompson and the coaching staff, they're trying to give him confidence, you know, trying to let him know that they still have confidence in him to be a productive leadoff hitter for them, even though he's struggling at this point in the season. What do you think about what the leadoff position looks like right now, and whether or not it's Stovall or Gregory, does it really matter?
I don't think it really matters. And I don't know if it affects, you know, Peyton Stovall. You know, a lot of times if a guy's struggling, they'll move him down in the lineup and give him a chance just to, you know, kind of a little bit less pressure, I guess, like drop Peyton down to the nine holes, lead off Zach Gregory. But I don't think Peyton's really fazed by, you know, the leadoff role. I think he's gotten off to a slow start. I think he started pressing a little bit. I think getting that first hit, that home run, was huge for him. But I still think he's going to be fine. But, you know, we're getting really close to SEC play. And, boy, you want someone that's going to get on base. You look at Zach Gregory, on base percentage 432, Peyton Stovall 250. You know, you really want that leadoff guy getting on for you. And the thing I love about Zach Gregory is how he grinds out at bats. And you and I talked about it last week. You know, Zach finds a way to get on base, whether it's, you know, a walk, a hit by pitch, you know, and even on the bats he doesn't get on, he always works the count, sees multiple pitches. I really like him in that leadoff role, just because just kind of the way his approach and his demeanor at the plate, the way he sees a lot of pitches, you know. Now, with that being said, he led off the Southeastern, the first game on Saturday. He first pitch, he lined out the center. Cause I just talked about how many pitches he sees and grinds out at bats, but he did hit it hard. He swung at the first pitch of the game and lined out the center, but he did hit it hard, and it was a pitch right down the middle. So I don't have a problem with that, but it was just funny. It was right as I was saying how many pitches he sees in that leadoff spot. He lined out, but you know, you can call that the broadcaster's jinx or whatever you want to call it, but it was just kind of funny the way it happened. But I know I'm not really answering your question, Matt. I think they're both going to be good. I think Peyton Stovall, you know, his batting average is 182 right now. He's going to get it going. He's too good. He's just, you know, the only thing he's done is he started to press a little bit and expand the zone a little bit. Once he gets that confidence and just start getting back in his zone and playing his game, he's going to be fine.
You know, I was reminded this week that Caden Wallace got off to a really bad start last year. And it was right about this time that Dave Van Horn actually moved him up in the batting order. I think Wallace was hitting 077 at the time, moved him up in the batting order. And it seemed almost like that changed Caden Wallace for the rest of the season, the confidence that they gave him to move him up in the batting order, and he started producing. I think that maybe, you know, they're trying to do the same thing with Stovall right now, give him confidence by keeping him in that leadoff position. More than just UIC this week, the Razorbacks could play up to four games against the Flames, and then Grambling will come in for two games next week before the series against Kentucky. Over the next, I don't know, Bubba, maybe 7 days or so, I think we're going to learn a lot about this baseball team, and a lot of we're going to get a chance to see a lot of players that we haven't got a chance to see to this point in the season very much of. I'm thinking players like Max Solis Jr., who's got a couple of nice hits this year. Or I guess a couple of nice at-bats, got a hit, also had a pop-up at the end of a long at-bat in his only appearance to this point. I think you're going to see Drake Vernado at some point. Kendall Diggs is someone that we've talked about before who we think pitches or hits really well. There are some other fielders who haven't got a chance to get into the game that might get a chance to over the next week, not to mention pitchers who are going to get some time on the mound. This is kind of an exciting time, I think, when you start seeing these five games in a week, because I think you can learn a lot about the team at those times.
Oh, I think so. It gives Dave and the staff a chance to look at multiple guys, you know, and Max Solis Jr. to me is really interesting. Just the two at bats he's had have been really good at bats. You know, he could eventually be a big threat off the bench, a big right-handed bat to come off and face a lefty late in the game, you know, if he continues to have good at bats. And so I'd like to see him in there and get a start and get a few ABs and Kendall Diggs. I really do like him. I like his at bats. You know, he chased a couple pitches, you know, this past weekend, but that's a freshman thing that happens. I know Dave joked about it at the Swatters Club, you know, not driving in a run from second with two outs, but you know, he's a freshman. You get in a situation like that. Sometimes the game speeds up on you a little bit. You tend to expand the zone, but I'm probably, believe it or not, I'm excited to see more of these pitchers and what they can do. I think we've got a bunch of weapons out of the bullpen. And I think these next week is going to give us a really good chance to look at some of these guys. And I think the bullpen is going to start to settle in, and we're going to see who's going to take on what role leading into conference play.
Arkansas and UIC up to four games this weekend. All of them will be televised by SEC Network Plus. You can also catch Bubba on the Razorback Sports Network radio broadcast with Phil Elson. Or you can come to WholeHogSports.com before, during, and after the games to view all of our Razorback baseball coverage. It's a busy time at Whole Hog Sports. Spring football begins this weekend. Of course, we've got the SEC basketball tournament, also the NCAA track and field indoor national championships. Arkansas's men and women are supposed to compete for titles this weekend in Birmingham. We've also got the basketball podcast of Mid-America that we'll update later this week as we look ahead to the Razorbacks' time at the SEC tournament in Tampa. You can find all of our podcasts by searching Whole Hog Radio. That's three words, WHOLEHOGRADIO, on Apple, Spotify, or most other podcast stores. For Bubba Carpenter, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back with another Whole Hog Baseball podcast next week. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.